Bibles this morning, and let's all stand together. Grab your Bibles, let's all stand together here. John chapter 15. That's a great song. Thank you, Karina. This morning she came, I saw Karina coming in. You ever have a song going through your mind? Most of you don't have a mind, so I guess that's not an issue. Okay, thanks. But I had a song, I was out here greeting people, and I had a song going through my mind. Stairway to Heaven. It was a spiritual song. Just kidding. Calm down. But I saw Karina coming in. I said, hey, are you singing today? She goes, yeah, what are you singing? She told me a song she's singing. I'm like, that's the one going through my mind. Now, it usually is Stairway to Heaven, but that today it was that one. So, but that's a great, great song. Thank you for that. We'll just read the verses here and we'll let you be seated. We will not keep you standing long. Thank you for your faithfulness in coming to church. I do encourage you, when you come to church, if possible, bring your Bible with you if you don't have one. We have a bookstore here. There's a cheap one. Or talk to your Sunday school teacher and tell him I said to buy you a Bible, all right? So if you don't have one, your Sunday school teacher will buy you a Bible. If he's on staff, we'll take it right out of his salary just to make it easy for everybody, all right? John chapter 15 and verse 1. We'll read the first 11 verses. We're going to talk this morning about making a choice. Making a choice. Verse 1, I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. And our Father, we come now to the message, and we've been here this morning for a bit. I pray that you'd just help us to settle in, Lord. I pray you'd speak to us this morning through your word. Help us to get that which you want us to have. And Lord, help us to just go out from this place better than when we came in. If there's things in our life that you point out to us that we may need to adjust, I pray you'd help us to be willing to do that. Speak to us, and thank you for all you've done so far. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Making a choice. We live in a victim mentality society. No one ever takes responsibility for anything in their life. If we can find someone else that we can offload the blame for and make ourselves a victim, we feel better about what's going on. Many years ago, there was a lawsuit. A lady went into McDonald's and she got a cup of hot coffee. Hot coffee. She spilled it on herself. She sued McDonald's for damages because the coffee was hot. Now, I don't know what you expect from hot coffee, okay? If you spill it, that's not a McDonald's problem. That's what we live in. We've heard stories. I just read one recently, again, and it's not unusual, where someone is burglarizing a house or getting into a house to rob it, and they hurt themselves while they're doing that, and they sue the owner of the house for damages. It's ridiculous. Everybody, if nothing is ever our fault. But really, God wants us to take responsibility for our lives. By the way, we'll be better off if we do that. See, so many people, I'm getting ahead of myself, but so many people get stuck into a certain lifestyle that's not optimal. It's not the lifestyle God has for us. It's not what God has for us. It's not the results that God has for us. And we almost feel comfortable in that setting if we can just blame it on somebody else. Whereas God says, I got something better for you. I want you to go past that and get to where I want you to be. That is what is true in our Christian life. What we get out of our Christian life is basically what we choose to get out of it. A lot of times people come to God or come to church because they have a problem in their life they need help with. And let me say this, there's nothing wrong with coming to God for those things. But the problem is, that's the only time we come to God. Whereas the Bible, really, if we get into the Bible and we understand Christianity and we live the way God wants us to live and we're in His Word, we can practice what is called preventive maintenance. I would prefer not to have a problem. I would prefer that I avoid these issues. If you have a car, listen, if you take care of it and change the oil regularly, it'll usually last a pretty long time. We usually, in all of our cars, we usually get a lot of miles out of them without trouble. The only one we really had trouble with was the Ford. That was my fault. I shouldn't have bought it, okay? By the way, I have three letters for you if you own a Ford. AAA, okay? You got to have AAA. I don't know how many times AAA got my Ford. Now, my daughter did me a favor recently. She totaled our car. The Mercury, which is Ford, same thing. And I think we were looking online to see what they were going to give us value for it, and it was like the best we could find is $4,500, and they gave us $7,000. That's the only thing I like about Fords, okay? But what we've always done is we do preventive maintenance on our cars. We'll change the oils, rotate the tires, make sure everything's taken care of so that they last, so that after 100,000 miles, they don't blow up. Most of us don't live our lives that way, though. We don't live our lives doing the things that would prevent us from problems, and so we get ourselves into those problems. And I think it's better. Many years ago, Pastor preached a message on storms, and he said, he basically was saying that, look, whether we are going to survive the storms that comes into our life is determined by what we're doing right now. You see, everybody's going to have a storm in your life. Everybody's going to have something that comes into our life, but what we're doing now, what we're choosing to do, will help us to get through those times in our lives. Everything you have in your life now, wherever your life is situated, you're there because you have chosen to be there. We can try to hide behind our circumstances. We can try to hide behind the situations that come into life. We can try to hide behind individuals that we feel are causing the problems in our life. But the bottom line is, we are where we are because we choose to be there. Look at your Christianity today. Let me ask you a question. How's it working for you? How is your Christianity? Some people hang on by a thread. Some people, it's almost just a religious exercise. I just get up and I go to church on Sunday mornings because that's what I'm supposed to do, and I like the people at the church. And by the way, we ought to like each other at the church. And I think we have a great church, and I think we have a friendly church. But there's more to Christianity than that. There's more to it. And I want you to get more out of it. If I had a choice, by the way, let me say this before I say that. We look, our Christianity doesn't just affect our relationship with God. It affects every area of our life. That's what we don't understand. We kind of put God in a box. Here's this part of my life, it's my spiritual life, but these other things in my life are over here, these are different. This is what I do for work. This is how I choose to do in my off time. This is what I choose to do all these things. Can I just tell you something? They're all interrelated. And if you want those other areas of your life to be better off, it's all related to your Christianity. Now, choices. If you had a choice, you would always choose better. If someone said, I'll give you a $20 bill or a $100 bill, I'm going to take the $100 bill. Oh, I don't want to be covetous. I'll take the 20. Good for you. If someone offers me a small bowl of chocolate pudding, I felt something, or a large bowl of chocolate pudding, I'll take both of them. Man. If someone offers me cube steak, I know what cube steak is, or a top-of-the-line steak, I'll take the top-of-the-line. Yeah. If someone offered me a Yugo or a 57 Chevy, I won't take the Yugo. Take the Chevy. By the way, someone said, you know what a waste is? A car alarm on a Yugo, okay? How many remember the Yugos? You could pick those things up and walk off with them, okay? They were junk. I think they were the first disposable car ever made. Drive them for a year, throw them away. I always would want to choose best. Why is it, though, that so many of us, and sometimes it's based on ignorance, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. Not ignorance, I mean just not understanding, that's all. We choose that which isn't best. Listen, if I'm going to have the Christian life, I don't want to have the subpar one. I want to have the one God has for me. I want to have the best. The verses here tell us how we can do that. The process that gets us to where we should be and helps us to, by doing this, to choose the best is called abiding. That's what he said. If ye abide in me, and I abide in you. Abiding is purposely choosing to stay connected to Christ so that his life-altering power can make me what he wants and provide the life he has for me. You see, that's the picture here. The picture is of the vine and the branches. The branches are connected to the vine. The vine, you can think of the vine like the roots or the main stump of the tree, as it were. And so the branches that are connected to that, because of the health of the roots or the vine, if the branch is connected to it, the branch will naturally be healthy. But if the branch is not connected, the branch is not connected to that source of the life-giving, fruit-giving power. And he's talking about you and I and our relationship to him. If we are not connected to Christ, we are disconnected from the spiritual power we need that will produce the Christianity in us he wants us to have. That's why I think you ought to be at church. But that's not enough. You need to be personally connected to Christ. It's based on his goodness, by the way. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So I just, sometimes I struggle with, is God really good? Have you tasted? Have you tasted? Are you connected? I just feel that things in my life aren't going the right direction. It just seems like it's not working, and all these little areas. Are you connected? But I come to Sunday school. By the way, I think everybody ought to go to Sunday school. If you're new in our church and maybe you're coming and you just come for the service, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice by not going to our Sunday school classes. We have a lot of Sunday school classes. God, and I'm probably, a teacher's probably invited you. Get in there and get to know some people and be encouraged and strengthened and exhorted. But we need Christ. We need Christ. We need to be connected to him. He's good. By choosing to be connected to Christ, we will experience growth. And that growth produces results in several areas. And I'm going to mention some of the areas here in the verses, and I want you to listen this morning and see, is this happening in my life? If it's not happening, then you're not connected to the vine, and you're choosing not to experience what God wants you to experience in these areas. What are the areas? Well, I would say, first of all, do you choose to be fruitful? Look at verse 4. Do you choose to be fruitful? Verse 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you." That's the abiding, connectedness to Christ. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Listen, you cannot go. My in-laws live in Washington, so they have a big farm. They grow some kind of grass, not the kind of grass you're thinking of. And it, although it is Washington State, so that probably wouldn't be a problem. But next to them, there's an orchard, and they have these fruit trees. I can't drive by there and say, "Man, I like fruit. I'm going to cut off one of those branches. I'm going to take that branch, and I'm going to bring it home so it'll produce fruit." Once you sever it from the tree, it ain't bringing forth fruit anymore. It's dead. He says, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself," sorry, that's not going to work, "except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." You're not going to have any spiritual type of fruit in your life. You're not going to see any spiritual results in your life if you are not connected to Christ. We could sit up here and preach until our ears turn blue. We could stand on our head and do 27 flips. Now, that'll help you, but that's just a supplement to you being connected to Christ. "I am the vine," verse 5, "ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Fruit is just, it's a growth. And when you grow, things in your life grow spiritually that God wants you to have in your life. How does that fruit come? Connected to Christ. Are you fruitful today? See, man, I don't feel like I'm experiencing it. Can I ask you a question? Are you connected to Christ? If you're choosing not to be connected to Christ, then you are choosing not to have fruit. By the way, and I say it over and over, the Christian life, it's the life. Serving God, it's good. It's exciting. It's the thing to do. But can I tell you something? You say, I hear you say that, and I'm not feeling it. You ever hear, "I'm not feeling it"? Because you're not connected to the vine. It's not something you can produce on your own. You just can't. It's something that God produces through you because you're connected to him. You ever hear someone say, "I'm not being fed"? Now, when they're talking about a church service, let me just tell you what that means. I'm not listening. And it's an excuse for where they're at in their Christianity. They're trying to blame it on somebody else. But can I just tell you something? This kind of feeding is slingshot feeding. You need to go spoon it yourself. Okay? When the kids were little and our grandkids that are over, we feed them. Actually, we don't need to feed them anymore. They're old enough to feed themselves. The little one, she likes to eat. So if you throw food anywhere within her vicinity, she's in. We call her catfish because when she was little, she'd crawl around the house looking for crumbs. Okay, anything on the floor, it was in her mouth. Okay, but you know, when they're little, Brittany, you got to feed them. You don't feed those little; they're not going to eat. They're not going to grow. They got to get to the point where they feed themselves. Okay? We're not putting our 18-year-old in a high chair. Open your mouth, doo doo doo. Okay? No. Where's the fruit coming from? It's going to come from Christ, but we got to be connected to Him. We can only do so much for you, to be honest with you. The church can only do so much. We cannot overcome your lack or my lack of a relationship with Christ. Are you choosing to be fruitful? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Now, we're going to look at some verses here, and I'm just going to tell you something. These verses aren't me, naturally speaking. And these verses, I'm going to guess, are not naturally all of us. All right? Let's look at them. These are characteristics we're supposed to have. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is, here we go, love. By the way, most of us don't understand love. If you're good to me, I'm good to you. That type of mentality. Deep godly love. Peace. It's not peace, but I'm sorry. Joy. Joy. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Peace. By the way, it's not the upside down broken cross in the circle. It's not this. Peace inside. Man, I'm always concerned about long suffering. Man, I am not there. Naturally. Right? Just like, it's okay. I can take, it's irritating, but I can take it. Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Okay. Faith. Meekness. All right, guys, someone gets in your face. It's okay. It's not okay. You wanna get in their face. Well, the Bible says turn the other cheek. I only got one. Some guy said, yeah, I turn my cheek. He slaps me this way, and I turn my cheek so I can punch him that way. That's not what he's talking about. What? Not wrestling either. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, let me say something about these. These aren't all natural to us. Well, then, why is God telling them to do these things? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when we're connected to Christ and we're growing, the Spirit of God develops these attributes in us. We try to live them, and He gives us the power to do these things. Not perfect, I get that. But how close you come to these depends on how connected you are to Jesus Christ. Are you fruitful today? Number two, and please understand what I mean by this, I'll explain it to you. Do you choose to be successful? Now, not successful like you think. I'm the CEO, and I make, you know, $100,000 a week. By the way, that'd be fine. Just make sure you tithe. And if you remember last week, if you get stuck on a desert island, I will find you. Okay, that's for those of you that were here last week. The same bringeth forth much fruit, that's success, for without me you can do nothing. In other words, as we remember, we've looked at the verses in Psalm where God says if we delight in His word, we'll be successful in anything that we do. And Joshua 1:8 tells us that if we follow God's word, that we'll prosper in everything that we do. That sounds kind of like carte blanche, just whatever you want. No, because if we're in God's word, we'll want to be successful in the areas He wants us to be successful. And because we're in His words, He promised success. That kind of goes along with the fruitfulness. Listen to this statement. Tell me. You basically are going to end up being as good a Christian as you want to be. Bottom line. By the way, none of us are perfect. Amen? On a scale, scale of 100, where are you? I'm just glad I'm on the scale. But I'll tell you, whatever level that would be, you're there because that's where you choose to be. The choices you make have brought you there. Okay? And that's what we want to be, successful. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Someone has said the Christian life is not difficult to live. It's impossible to live. Now, I'm not saying to make that hard. What I'm saying is when we try to live it on our own, it ain't going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's impossible. But when we seek to live it and we're connected to Christ and we have his life-giving power, his spiritual power that we need, it can be done. Amen. That's why we struggle. Listen, anybody, if you're now we all have certain things we have to fight, but if you're majorly struggling in some sinful area, I'd ask you this question. How much time are you spending with Christ? I've never had anybody come up and say, I have a major struggle in my life in this area. I mean major, overt, and it is causing me major troubles. And I'd say, and ask him, how much time you spend with God? Say, man, I'm in my Bible every day. See, because what happens is, if you have a tent, you start slipping away a little, and then you do something, and then Satan uses it against you. How dare you spend time with God? Look at you. What you really need to do is say, tell Satan to be quiet and get back in the Bible, and you'll be fine. Amen. Don't let him discourage you. Those times where you just hop back up, get back in God's word before it gets too far gone. But that's where success comes from. How successful is a Christian? And you know the word, how I'm using the word. Your family, as a church. We try to find success in all the wrong places because we're not following God's word and we end up empty. Remember listening to a radio interview. They were actually interviewing Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw was a quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He won 4 Super Bowls. Now, this is his testimony. He said, those 4 weeks of the Super Bowl were the worst 4 weeks of my life. I was depressed. I was down. Why? Because they live their whole life for that one thing, and you get there, and it's like, where's the payoff? Walter Payton, great football player, good guy by everybody's calculation, played many years, always on bad teams. His football team one year towards the end of his career had a great year. They won the Super Bowl, and they asked him afterwards, all these years of fighting to win, how do you feel? And he said, it's not what I thought it is. Because there's more to life than that. There's more to life than that. Next. Do you choose to be spiritual? We already mentioned. If a man, verse 6, abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now look at the picture. Look, if a branch comes off of the vine and it's no good, or it's not connected, what are they going to do with it? They're going to gather it up because it's rough and just get rid of it. It's not good. It's not producing. It's no good. There's nothing life-giving in it. Hey, how spiritual are you today? Now, none of us have halos on our head. Okay? And if someone here, you think you have a halo on your head, you've got horns holding it up. Okay? None of us have halos on our head. I'm just talking about what's the goal of your life? Do you ever think about God? Do you ever spend time with him, or is just like, get up and live my life and do my own thing, and I want to have all this over here, and I want to kind of have God a little bit, so I'll show up to church. God ought to permeate every, I'm not saying you should be Mother Teresa or some monk in a monastery, but God ought to be a part of your every day. Every day. Not some little hashtag on your Instagram account, and then you post nonsense. By the way, And this, I don't want to be mean, it's Sunday morning, but do us a favor as Christians. If you post nonsense, don't put a God hashtag on your Instagram. You're giving Jesus a bad name. Okay? If you're struggling, God bless you. We're all for you. But I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. How spiritual are we? Not perfect. But however spiritual you are, you chose to be there. I want to be a branch that's at least connected and trying to go forward. I may not produce the most fruit, but at least I'm not withering up. At least I'm not like, you know what, that one doesn't produce anything. Let's just throw it out. I want to at least be someone that says, you know, at least he's connected. Something good's happening there. How spiritual are we? If you're newer and you've come in for a while, here's a step that you need to get past. And I had to get past this. You need to step from churchianity to Christianity. In other words, when I started, I may have been 17 or 18, I'm not sure, I was right there, out of high school. And so I started going to church on Sunday mornings. I thought, you know, I'll appease God, I know I'm saved, and I gotta give God, I'm gonna start going on Sunday mornings. I went for a month, solid. And then I realized something, I was just a churchian, Just going to church, nothing else. There was nothing in my life that said, you know, Jesus, or I wasn't trying to get close to God at all. I just went to church, that's all. And after that month, I kind of had to make a decision. And I thought, you know, am I just going to be a churchian? Am I going to really, really try to get close to God and just see what happens here? And I made that step. That's when I started spending time personally with God. That's when I started being a little more faithful to the things of God at church, spending time in prayer, trying to grow in my faith, just trying to be what God wanted me to be. But I had to make that step. Okay? I'm glad you're at church, and if you're not completely there with us right now, hang in there. That's fine. We're good. I'm glad you come on Sunday mornings. Yeah. I'm just admonishing you this. There's something better. Yeah. There's something better. Amen. I wouldn't be your friend. I wouldn't be honest if I didn't tell you there's a better brand of Christianity out there. And you'll never regret spending time with God. And if you get in on it and you serve God, you, 30 years from now, wherever it is, you won't regret it. You will never look, I don't look back on my life and say, you know, I wish I went that other direction. I wish I would have continued in the party life like I was before and just doing my own thing. Can I just tell you something? If I would have went that route, I wouldn't be married for almost 30 years. My kids are probably everywhere with stepdads and all that nonsense. That's who I was. I don't regret it. In fact, sometimes I pinch myself and say, man, thank you, God. I'm glad I'm not there. I think back at specific times of my life and things that happened. It's like, man, I just dodged a bullet there. I can remember very specific times, like, man, if I would have just, that would have taken what I was doing to a worse extent. I'm just telling you, I'm not old. Started serving God when I was 2. I'm just telling you, I don't regret a minute of it. I'm just telling you, it's good. And I'm admonishing you, get in on it. Get in on it. You say, but it does. You can't say you've in on it if you're only sticking your toe in the water. You know what I'm saying? That's what we did. And by the way, that's what I did. I just stuck my toe in the water for a month. And it's like, brother, and I listened to Brother Black. He was my pastor. And I'm like, I get it. I get what he's saying. It's like, you got to get in on this thing. And I did. So many things here. Look at verse, he talks about, do you choose to be heard? Verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It's nice to know that God wants to hear you pray. And it's nice to know if I'm connected to him, I'm going to pray the right things, and God will answer my prayer. I know God hears me. I'm not just in a room. I'm not bowed down to some idol that has no ears. I'm not serving some false God. I'm serving a real God I can pray to. And I know that he hears what I say. Do you choose to love? Verse 9 and 10, he talks about loving. We're to continue in his love. By the way, that's not just love for God, because if we love God, we will love each other. By the way, that's hard. It's hard. I know it's hard for, and look, it'd be hard for others to deal with me, right? Thank you for not saying amen. I appreciate that. Because it's hard for some to deal with you too. We all have our idiosyncrasies. Aren't you glad when we have God's love, we get past that? Oh, but you know, brother, and so we're having a little bit of a misunderstanding here. Misunderstandings are to be fixed. Okay? Why? Because we all irritate each other. See, we're flesh, and sometimes we're not as connected as we should be, and all the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes it takes it gets a flat tire. We step back up. You know what keeps us going? God's love. The closer you are to God, the easier it will be for you to love others. Because if I wasn't close to God, it wouldn't happen. Like, do you love? And the last thing is this. Do you choose to be joyful? These things have I spoken unto you, verse 11, that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, sometimes I've heard people preach, and it's almost like being happy is a sin. We're supposed to walk around like, I love God. Well, tell your face. Okay? You need to send an email to your face. Hey, it's okay to smile. Say, but I don't look very nice. Neither do we. Smile, you look better. He says that your joy might be what? Now, I understand. You know, there might be a day we're persecuted for our faith, and that'll be hard. But you know what? You can still have joy in Jesus. Joy. You say, but by the way, I heard someone say this, and I believe it, and we're done. He said that if you don't have joy as a Christian, that's probably God's way of telling you something needs to be adjusted. Yep. Usually God will point out and say, hey, fix this. You know, your car sounds bad. You know, I had my car, and it was driving fine. Tick, 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 tick. It was still under warranty. We took it in. There was something wrong with it. They fixed it. What's ticking in your life? See, I'm not feeling the joy. Now, by the way, everything's not happy, happy, happy. Okay, I get that. But we can always have joy in God. We always can. He's always good. But if it's not, what area do we need to look at and say, adjust it? I need to adjust it. What am I saying? What kind of Christianity do you want today? What kind of life do you really want? Because wishful thinking will not get it for you. It's all based on our choice. And the number one choice we need to make is, I'm going to have a relationship with God. I'm going to stay connected to the vine. I can't get all this stuff on my own. And you can't. We can do what we can. But you know what? The power to get it comes from God. And he's the vine and we are the branches. Let's stay connected to him. If we do, we're choosing to have these things in our life. If not, we're choosing to bypass them. And the choice is ours. Let's pray this morning.